Welcome to the Book Dopey Podcast. I'm John Purcell, and I'm here with Peter Fitzsimons to talk about his new book, The Great Aussie Bloke Slim Down. I got that right. It's a bit of a title there.
My wife, Lisa Wilkinson, came up with it.
Well, she's very useful to you, I think. So wasn't she involved in the decision to turn your life around?
The book. Well, no, I mean, it's interesting. She said to me the other day that there was a photo we were looking at of me 5 years ago, and it was a particular one of me in front of a barbecue. And Lisa said, when that photo was taken, she said, I looked at you, Pete, and I thought, I'm only going to have him for another 15 years.
Oh, geez.
You know, I said, what, you could have told me. No, but she looked at me and just went, well, I was living the cliche. And the cliche is, formerly fit footballer, turns to fat, has a heart attack, drops dead. That is the miserable cliche. And I had, you know, on my way back to health, I had a few seminal moments. One was climbing the stairs at home. So we live on the lower north shore of Sydney. And we're in an old house, 1903 house. It's got very steep stairs. And about 5 years ago, I got to the top of the stairs and I went, geez, you know, I'm sweating. I'm breathing heavily. I must be getting old. And that was New Year's Day, 2011, 12. I get them both mixed up. But anyway, it was New Year's Day and I was 152 kilos.
152.
So, I mean, basically I played test rugby at 114 kilos. Most of my rugby at 125 or something like that. Test rugby, 114 kilos. Got married in 1992 at 126. Walked the Kokoda track in 2003 at 136. And just got probably put on a kilo or two a year on average. I mean, I kept going up and down. I was on what I call the yo-yo diet. You know, up and down, up and down. But
did
overall,
you think about it or do anything about it?
I was still physically active, yeah. You know, so I was still playing tennis, I still play basketball every Wednesday night, I play touch football, but touch football goes for an hour, and when I was 152 kilos, I just couldn't do it for an hour. Yeah. I'd turn up at 10 to 7, play for 30, 40 minutes, and that'd be me. But anyway, the real breakthrough, I read, and I don't know if I'm sure Booktopia puts his books out, he's a terrific guy, David Gillespie.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
his book, Sweet Poison. So we were on a family holiday, and I read that on the way to Africa, got to Africa and said, all right, I'll stop sugar.
Yeah.
And the thing that I reckon should be absolutely put in lights, starting with Australian Dietitians Association, every health magazine, every public health organisation, the thing that I got from Gillespie's book that I don't think is sufficiently acknowledged and broadcast to everybody is stop the sugar equals stop the hunger. That was the thing, that was the real breakthrough moment of, geez, if I just knocked back this, stopped having the sugar, maybe I wouldn't be hungry all the time. Anyway, I stopped and I wasn't hungry. And I came back and I lost 4 or 5 kilos without even trying. So it melts it off somehow.
So, that book has been very influential in Australia.
Yes. And he was very helpful to me. And I was doing some work for Channel 7. And I told a mate of mine, Mark Llewellyn, who was running Sunday night program, you know, he said, geez, you're starting to lose weight. And I said, I am. I read this book by David Gillespie and I'm going to take it seriously. And he said, well, let's put the cameras on you. Yeah. So they had footage of me running along Balmoral Beach. I think by that stage I was 144 kilos. And so there I am running along, my man boobs bouncing up and down. And then by the end of the show, so they filmed it over 8, 9, 10 weeks. I'd gone from, I think, 144 when the cameras were on me, down to 122, and whoever the fellow was who was speaking, there's a whole industry out there that, look, even in public health organisations, there are people who don't say what I reckon should be said, and that is stop the sugar.
Yeah.
And anyway, one of the people in the course of various journalistic exercises said, well, let's have a look at how we use in a few years' time. You know, yeah. Well, okay, mate, here's the answer. I'm off the sugar. I'm not 122 kilos. I'm 106.9 kilos. I'm on my way to 103 kilos. And I had several breakthroughs along the way. And one was, and David Gillespie, as I say, he's the master. He's the guy that's most, well, for me anyway, he's the guy that put it into my head, stop the sugar. And his best point, John, is that your great-great-grandfather and my great-great-grandfather, average intake of sugar per year, about 2 kilos. That was when the harvest came in, the fruit were mature, ripe, and there'd be sweetness in them, and that's what they'd have. You and I, as average Australians, would be having, before I read this book, 50 to 60 kilos a year, and in essence, I'm trying to think of that medical term, I remember, it roots your system.
Yeah.
You're not meant to be taking in that amount of sugar. And it's not simply the calories you take, it's that it makes you hungry. And Gillespie's point was that if you stop that intake, your body self-regulates and you come back to what it's always meant to be, which is not to have, that'll be David right now. Excuse me, I'll just turn my phone off. your system comes naturally back to form. And so the next breakthrough for me, I had two more breakthroughs. One was, somebody said to me, see, Gillespie didn't go hard on alcohol, which I thought, as a man that was a very big drinker, I thought, well, there's a free pass to guzzle the wine. And I did. I'm about to go, you and I are talking late on a Thursday morning. I'm about to go to lunch at Machiavelli's restaurant. I've been going there for 30 years. And mostly I would have had a bottle of wine with lunch, if not two, if it's a long lunch. Because as a big drinker, I just loved it. I work hard, you know, I get a taxi home, no worries about blue lights. I like it. I like alcohol. But anyway, somebody said to me that one bottle of wine equals one Big Mac in terms of calories. Another light went on over my head. And that was the start of it. But it still went on. I still kept drinking, but I was thinking about it. And then about 2 years and 3 months ago, I went down to pick up my boy from Threadboat, where he'd been being a ski instructor. And I was having dinner with my mate that runs Threadboat, Jordan Rogers. And we were about 8 o'clock at night in that wonderful chalet there having dinner. And I'd, as he tells the story, I'd guzzled my first bottle of wine after 10 minutes, I reckon it was 20 minutes, calling for the next bottle of wine. And I said to Jordan, "You're not drinking, Jordan?" And he said, his exact words, he said, "Oh, well, no, I'm running Threadbow. On a busy day, I'm responsible for, you know, the health of 7,000 skiers. I figure I've got to bring my A game to what I'm doing." Anyway, that phrase, "I've got to bring my A game." And I thought, well, geez, I'm doing a couple of A games that I should be bringing my A game to. Anyway, so I still kept guzzling my second bottle of wine, went up to sleep, and the following day tried to ski with my son. And as I write in the book, there, for a fat man, there is a very fine line between skiing and trying to get the huck off the mountain. And I spent most of the day trying to get the huck off the mountain. Came down feeling fat, old, slow, just wasted. And so I did the obvious. I had another couple of bottles of wine and I felt better. And I woke up, but I woke up the next morning and thought, right, this is the moment, so I'll stop. So that day I drove, Louis and I drove back to Sydney, so there was no wine around. And that night, instead of having half a bottle of wine or a bottle of wine with dinner, I didn't. And the strange thing was, I didn't miss it. I woke up the next morning with a very clear head, and I just didn't drink that week, went to a few lunches, a few guys saying, "Why aren't you drinking?" "Oh, well, I've stopped." And then that Saturday night was my eldest son's 21st. So there we are, there's wine been going down, champagne, everybody charges their glasses, I'm the father of the 21-year-old, lift my glass, and I had champagne, and I say, "All right, here's to Jake, three cheers, here's to Jake," and everybody knocks it back, and I looked at it, and I had my next moment, which was, if I have a sip of this, I will have two sips. I know me. It's taken me 53 years to know me, but I know me. I'll have one sip, I'll have two sips. If you have two sips, well, for God's sake, why wouldn't you drain the glass? If you're gonna drain the glass, for God's sake, it's not as if two glasses is gonna hurt you. Oh, what the hell? And I would have knocked back several glasses. Within an hour, I would have been sitting with my sister-in-law, who I adore, by the fire, and we would have been drinking till 3 a.m.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have been drinking that long, but I would have been. And I would have gone through two champagnes, and I would have woken up with a fuzzy head. As it was, that moment, I didn't have it. I woke up the next day, totally clear. You know, could clean up after the 21st. I had energy, I had focus. And the other thing I had that I hadn't had for a few while, brownie points.
Yeah.
More brownie points from Lisa than I knew what to do with.
That's the question I've got, because I during September, I didn't drink. I just stopped drinking, and I drink every night. And my wife likes to have a drink with me in the evening. Does Lisa have a drink with you in the evening?
No, one of the things we have established, and she's not in full agreement with this, but, well, we definitely both agree that I'm a better husband and father with no alcohol whatsoever. I also think she's a much better wife when she does have some alcohol in her, because she doesn't drink much at all. Right. But occasionally, on a Friday or a Saturday, I wouldn't say it by any means she doesn't rip in, but she'll have you know, one or two cocktails, if not occasionally, very occasionally, two or three. But she's, you know, she relaxes, she's fun, but she never lets herself go. Whereas I had wandered into a pattern, and the strange thing is, I was not an alcoholic in the sense, now the alcoholic, being an alcoholic is a very loaded word, but if you define an alcoholic as somebody who actually needs to drink, well, I was not that, in the sense that the strangest thing for me is that how easy it was. I had no physical desire for physiological need, whatever you want to call it. No, you know, delirious tremors or what. I mean, I wasn't that bad a drinker, but I certainly was a heavy drinker. But my point is, I came to the realisation that I live a much better life. And just everything across the board, I have more energy, I'm fitter, I'm healthier. I always had a good marriage, and I was always, you know, close family. But for my kids, you know, whenever they need me, I can help. I'm there, and I've got energy. And with Lisa, I mean, I do strange things now, like take out the garbage without being asked.
James, I've got a couple of questions about the book, because people listening to this will say, okay, you've done that. You've been able to turn that around. With the drinking, you've got a strong will. What in the book, is there a plan? Is there a strategy? How do you lay it out?
I lay it out basically saying this was my journey. Mm-hmm. So I set it up, and I look at the other systems that I've tried. So I don't know if you've ever tried the likes of Jenny Craig, but I have. Okay, but there's Light and Easy, and there's various systems there. There's the South Beach diet, which is interesting, but you need a medical degree to follow what's going on. A mate of mine, Adam Spencer, who I'm sure you know, he was the first one to point out to me the virtues of the protein diet. And that actually, in terms of quick weight loss, that was about as good as I came across. But it's not something you can maintain. Mm-hmm. So my mate Joe Hockey, our former federal treasurer, now our man in Washington, on a Monday morning 3 years ago, I knew he was about to go and have 85% of his intestines removed. And I said, Joe, don't do it. Do not do it. This is self-harm, just about. Yeah. Anyway, he did it, and he has lost weight. But the problem, there are problems with that kind of way of doing it. And my point is, this is not a diet book. You're not going on a diet. You are simply changing your diet. So get it through your head. And I'll just say the third tier of the slim down is physical activity. So on my wrist right now, I've got one of those Surge watches, whatever they call them, which I think it's Apple something something. But anyway, I can look now, it's 11:51. So far this morning, I've done 3,456 steps. My heart rate's 57. I've done 2.92 kilometres, and I've burnt 2,000 calories. So by tonight, when I put my head on the pillow, an hour before putting my head on the pillow, I'll look at it. I'll make sure I've done 10,000 steps, and if necessary, I'll walk around the block. The another mate of mine, again, this is the third tier, got me going to the gym. And when I was in my 20s, like when you were in your 20s, John, I think we looked at people that went to the gym as wankers. Mm-hmm. It's going, oh, kind of a wanker goes to the gym with their Lycra and all that. Well, I still don't have Lycra. But this morning, I did 45 minutes in the gym. I actually use a personal trainer, and he's terrific. He sort of monitors where I'm up to. And the fascinating thing for me is, at the age of 55, every week, I'm lifting more weight. I'm feeling stronger, doing personal bests on the rowing machine, on the bike machine, on the running machine, on one of those elliptical something or other, whatever they're called. This morning I did deadlifts, and in my final deadlift, I lifted 120 kilos from a standing start. And there is no reason in my day-to-day life that I ever need to lift 120 kilos. But I suppose, again, getting back to natural way of living. Our great-grandfathers did. They lifted bags of wheat and logs to make cabins or whatever. And somehow or other, I just feel stronger. So that's those are the three tiers of doing it. And I talk about my journey, and I talk about sometimes a single line, if you can just, a single line can lodge in your head. It helps. So there was a guy I quote in the book, Michael Pollan, I think his name is, Michael Pollan, Food Rules or something, but he came out with 97 Food Rules, and one of them is a beauty. And it is, if it comes through the window of your car, that's not food. Okay? That is not food. Food is fresh. And so again, one of the themes of the book is, when you're making your choices about what to eat, choose fresh food. Choose food that does not come out of a jar, doesn't come out of a packet. Educate yourself about where the sugar is. Because when I say cut the sugar, a lot of people think it's as simple as, you know, not putting sugar in your cappuccino. No. Basically, if food is processed, it has sugar in it. It has bulk sugar in it. And a lot of those breakfast cereals, God help me, the Breakfast of Champions, a lot of those breakfast foods are one third sugar. They are a disaster. And there's another fellow I play basketball against, and he's a lovely bloke, and I've been talking to him over the last few weeks, encouraging him, look, mate, you know, it's like if a Southern Baptist preacher says, stop drinking, well, you say, well, get nicked. You're a wowser. You're a wanker. Yeah. I don't want to hear what you've got to say. I think to a certain extent, if I can say, listen to you blokes, I have spilt more grog than you've drunk. Okay, so I'm not coming from a point of view of holier than thou. I'm certainly not more moral than thou. But what I can say is I'm speaking your language, and the idea of the book is I speak fluent Aussie bloke.
Mm-hmm.
And I have talked to professors, I've talked to doctors, I've read the literature, I've cut loose researches on the stuff, and I've translated it into fluent Aussie bloke, and saying, listen, dickhead, if you want to stuff around, if you just want to just sort of be, you know, moderation and try this and try that, okay, well, go for your life. But if you're actually serious, if you really want to not only drop weight for 2 months, or 2 weeks or whatever, if you actually want to change, if you actually want to go back to being as fit as you were, well, this is the book for you, because this is the way it works for me. And as I say, I used to be on the yo-yo diet. Well, I am never going back. I know what it's like to be 152 kilos, to sleep 10 hours a night, to strain going up the stairs, to be perpetually buggered, to have your wife pissed off at you all the time. I know what that's like. And look, even when I was 152, I wasn't an unhappy 152 kilos. But at 106 kilos, it's terrific. Everything, I sort of hit every day with energy. And I don't know if this word exists, fattest, you know, attacking fat people. I make the point in the book, there are plenty of people that are very happy being fat, overweight. They're happy. Good luck to them. If you're happy bearing the weight, go for your life. But there are far more people that are not happy and want to know how to lose it. And my answer is, it ain't that hard. If you just get your head in the game, it ain't that hard. Understand. I mean, the other breakthrough for me, to refer back to my thing on the wine and the champagne, is that dietitians will say, and they're quite right, the answer is moderation.
Mm-hmm.
To which my answer, with the greatest respect, is, thanks, Scoop. You make the coffee. I'll hold the front page. We've got an all-nighter going here. Of course moderation's the answer. Some of us, and I'm led by me, don't do moderation very well.
Mm.
And if I can apply my tendency towards extremes to health rather than ill health, it's better. So for me, the breakthrough understanding was that it is easier to be totally abstinent than it is to try moderation. And I'm not original in that. The great Samuel Johnson, the biographer of Boswell, said in the 1700s.
Boswell's biographer.
Vicky Versa.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, Johnson's the subject. And you're right. Boswell's the biographer. You're far
more literate than me. Samuel Johnson.
Yeah, he's the one who wrote the dictionary. You're right. Yeah.
Boswell wrote Johnson's, yes. Mm. Jesus, I wonder if I've done I've probably buggered the book there. Anyway, whatever. The point is that the great line is that it is that abstinence is easier than temperance. It's when I'm going to lunch shortly, if I was trying to keep it to one or two one or two glasses of wine, and not three and not four, I'd sort of have it on my mind. As it is, I go into that lunch, they know me, they bring me a big pot of tea.
Yeah.
Don't even think about it. So I now, instead of drinking for Australia, drinking alcohol for Australia, I drink tea for Australia.
Peter, thank you very much for coming in. I just want to let our customers know that this is probably a brilliant gift for a wife to a husband, especially if one's watching and going, I've got 15 years left with this guy. It's probably a good prompt to Christmas, even if it's just around New Year's Eve, around that time.
There's a little bit of sexual politics in the book, in the sense that women, the gag is, you know, does my bum look big in this? And there's only one answer to that. No, it doesn't, if you're talking to a woman. And women sometimes talk about, you know, low self-esteem, and they look in the mirror and they tend to see the flaws, and they tend to say, my hips are too big, or my tummy's too big, or whatever. And I can tell you, I suffered badly from high self-esteem. As many Australian blokes, we look at ourselves in the mirror, and even at 152 kilos, I'd look at myself in the mirror and go, you are a fine figure of a man. Some would say you've got a hairy mudslide out the front, but I think you look fabulous. And I did, and I always thought I look fabulous. But so the other thing is, I've deliberately framed this book at blokes. So if I was framing it at women, there's just the nature of ways is you go gently. You just gentle, 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 it's okay, easy, easy, easy. But if you're framing it at blokes, fluent Aussie bloke speak, listen, mate, bring it in tight. Are you serious about this, dickhead? Are you serious? But what about you, John? I must say, you're carrying a bit of poo. Okay. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Well, be serious. Number one, commit to this. Number two, stop the sugar. Seriously, get into it. Stop the sugar. Give it a go. Stop the sugar. Number three, don't just stop for September. Stop. Why don't you stop for 2017? Just say no alcohol and see how you go. See how you go with no alcohol whatsoever. And see what the only problem I reckon you'll have is, like I have, what are you going to do with all the brownie points from your wife?
Yeah.
She is going to be so pleased with you that you just don't know what to do with it. And the thing is, you, how old are you?
44, I think.
44, okay. So we have forgotten what it felt like to be 25. And I had certainly forgotten that. And I go back to what it was going up those stairs. I'm 55 years old. I am stronger than I've been in 25 to 30 years. I skip up those stairs now. I feel young again. I have rediscovered my mojo. Last night, playing basketball, a very young bloke, very muscly with tats, sort of picked me. Yeah. You know, so like there was a bit of argy-bargy. And I would never have got into a fist fight or whatever, but I said, mate, I'm right here. You want to take a swing? I'm right here. But again, and I never would have hit him at all. But I suppose my point is, I feel young again. I felt like a young buck of, you know, two antelopes butting heads, you know, on the felt, if I'm not getting my antelopes mixed up where they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, you're looking like we've run out of time. I've barely cleared my throat, but thank you for having me.
Well, I need to stress that even though all the encouragement you just heard just on the podcast, you will need the book to really to read through and have that encouragement. I'm going to read it over the holidays because I think I need the encouragement to truly change my life around in 2017. Thank you very much, Peter, for coming in.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you, Fatty.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.